Church, good to see everyone out this evening. I hope that you brought a Bible along, and I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in your Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, that Brother Stephen read so well just a moment ago. Ecclesiastes is so very easy to find. If you open up the Bible right in the middle, you're going to come to the book of Psalms. Just keep turning the page. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and there you are. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is where we're going to be looking at the scriptures together in just a moment. It has been a wonderful day of worship here together at Livingston Church. A wonderful day to see some old friends come our way we've not seen for the summer, and some new faces as well, as colleges are winding up all over this town. And we see our brothers and our sisters who've been gone away come back. And we're so glad for that. I want to remind all the college students in the room that we have some information we want to put in your hands about some special devotions we're putting together and events for the college folks. There's going to be a meeting right after services this evening, right up here in this area. And we're going to put that information in your hands, so please don't run off, college folks, but stick around, come down front after services, and we want to talk to you about those things. My name is Andrew Roberts, and it's my pleasure to stand before you and to share with you a study in the Word of God at this time. I want to talk to you about big faith. Big faith in every chapter of life. I'm going to be straight with you. We have a font issue, and my big faith was actually not that big. But it's going to be real big. So listen to me, and we're going to be able to fill in the blanks together. It looked right on the computer in the back, but you know what? It's what we love about live things, isn't it? Let me tell you what else I love. I love this time of year, this back-to-school time, this back-to-school season, because it marks off a new chapter in life. And depending on your situation, all right, you students, you have some new teachers, you've gone to a new grade, maybe you're going to a whole new school, and whatever happened last year, that is over. We're starting fresh. It is a new chapter. And church, certainly, besides school years, we mark off new chapters in our lives. When you are baptized and you become a member of the Lord's church, you become a Christian. That's a new chapter. I mean, really, that's a whole new book, but it marks off a new beginning, and it's an exciting new beginning. You come to new chapters in your life. You're going to finish school. You're going to get a job. That's a new chapter. Getting married, starting a family. That's a new chapter. You move into another house, or you go to another town or another state. New chapters. You start a business, you change careers, you've got a new chapter. Pretty soon your kids are graduating and it's a little quieter around your house. You become a grandparent. These are some new chapters. You retire from your work. You are now caring for your aged parents. Maybe even you attend a funeral or two of your friends. And these are new chapters. And one day your kids are coming around and they're checking in on you. That's a whole new chapter. And I want to tell you that through it all, every stage, every chapter of life, faith is the way to make it the best that it can be. I believe that any chapter with God will be better than a chapter without Him. For sure. Absolutely. And I'll tell you what Bible faith is not. When I say faith is important, Bible faith is not easy believism. And it's not some Sunday only kind of faith. Bible faith is not mere mental assent, and it is not some name it and claim it mantra. That is not Bible faith, but Bible faith is knowing God, trusting God, and obeying God regardless of a circumstance. Knowing Him, trusting Him, and obeying Him regardless of a circumstance. And I'll tell you tonight, all Christians, we all are trying to grow in faith, be built up in faith. They are good. Love you guys. Built up in faith, and as we build our faith, it gets what? It gets bigger. Okay? We're building it up, it's going to grow stronger, and it's going to get bigger. Big faith. And I want that. I want my faith to be bigger next year than it is today. And I want that for you. A growing faith, a vibrant faith, a bigger faith. In fact, a big faith. That's what I want in every chapter of life. Big faith, so that in that moment, or in that day, or in that season, where you cannot see the outcome, and you're not sure exactly how things are going to work out, you're still going to choose to honor and obey God before anything else. You will have the strength and the confidence in God to take that step. Like an Abraham, who we read in Hebrews chapter 11, he went out not knowing where he was going, but he was following God. That's big faith. Or a Moses, who refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He leaves the palace of Egypt to go be with the people of God, his own people, and suffer hardship and persecution because he would rather suffer with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's big faith. Or Mary, the Virgin Mary. When the angel Gabriel comes and tells her about God's plan in her life, and what does she say? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Can you imagine having faith like one of those? That's big faith. And our text in Ecclesiastes is all about big faith in every chapter of life. Now, as I say that, you're saying, I don't know, Andrew. I'm reading Ecclesiastes 11, Ecclesiastes 12. Stephen did a great job leading it. I didn't actually catch the word faith there. I didn't actually catch the word belief there. And you are right. In fact, the word faith, the word belief, neither of those words are in our reading. Neither of those words are in the book of Ecclesiastes at all. But Solomon uses three other phrases, three other words that mean faith, and they mean a big faith. When he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Remember God. When we're taught at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 to fear God, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And third, keep His commandments. Remember God. Fear God. What does it mean to fear God? That's talking about respecting God, revering God. And keeping His commandments. What's that about? That's about obeying His word. Knowing and obeying His word, His instructions. And when you remember God and revere God and obey God, I'm going to tell you, that's faith in God. That's a definition for faith and big faith if I've ever seen one. Remember Him, respect Him, obey Him. Wow. And Solomon shows us this in the context of life, in the context of the story of a life. Big faith in every chapter of life. I'm so excited looking at Ecclesiastes 11 and starting in verse 7 with you, where we see big faith in sunny chapters and dark chapters of life. In the sunny and the dark chapters of life, we need big faith. Here's what the scripture says. Truly, the light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. If I can sum up these two verses this way. In your life, you will have some sunny times. You will have some dark times. But all of it is transitory. In the grand scheme, none of those times lasts for very long. I think most of us would understand and amen. The Bible teaches us the brevity of life. What is it that James says in James chapter 4? He says your life is like a vapor. It vanishes away. It goes away. Man, life is short. Life is short. I heard a comedian telling a joke one time. And he said, people say life is short. Life isn't short. Life is long. Especially when you make bad choices. And I think we can feel that a little bit too. How quickly time passes or how slowly it feels like it's passing depends a lot on our circumstances and our attitude about our circumstances. It also depends on our faith. But Solomon shows us that whether life is feeling painful at the moment or pleasant at the moment, that moment is gone. That day is gone all the same. And so understand, as we learn in verse 7, that each day is a gift and a blessing from God. That's what that whole sunrise business is about. Truly, the light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Sunrise means God has given you something great. When your eyes see the sun of a morning, remember God. Thank God. He has already given you a gift, a sweet gift and a pleasant gift. And I really want to drive home that each day is a gift from His hand and a good one. Because in just a moment, we're going to read Solomon's inspired word, vanity. Vanity. And there is a word that just never sounds good. When it's all vanity, that sounds depressing. That sounds difficult. Maybe this isn't a good thing after all. But what is true, and he says in verse 7, truly is that a day of life is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from God. So each day is a gift from His hand, a blessing from His hand. And yet we are taught that even if you have a good long life, there's going to be some dark days in it. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Who doesn't want a good long life? Who doesn't want to see things and do things and be full of days when life is over? But you know, even people of faith and great faith had some dark days. I think about Joseph. Joseph, who did the right thing by resisting the temptation of Potiphar's wife. And what does he get for that? He gets to go spend a couple of years in jail and in prison. He did the right thing and dark days followed him. Darkness was the result. Righteous man, faithful man, dark days. But then I think about Moses. And I think about Moses and how for 40 years he's trying to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness to go into the promised land. And there is a pivotal moment in his life when he is called upon to speak to a rock for a miracle to bring forth water for God's people. And instead of speaking to the rock, he takes his staff and he strikes the rock. Water comes forward, but do you know this was a great sin before God? Do you know that when he sinned before God in this arrogance and pride, God punished him by saying, "You will not enter into the promised land. Now you, Moses, don't get to go." He sinned against God. There was consequence for that, which was some darkness, dark days. I think about Job and how Job had dark days in his life. And you know what? He was never told why. Job couldn't sit there and say, "Well, I did the right thing, but Potiphar's wife got one over on me." Or he couldn't sit there like Moses. "Well, I know what I did. I know what I did, and I'm sorry for what I did." He couldn't do that. It wasn't until he got to heaven that it all became clear to him that all of his hardship was to create a temptation to curse God. But he never cursed God. Big faith. And then we learn in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, whether we've been doing right things or whether we've been doing wrong things, sometimes things just happen. Time and chance overtake us all. Yeah, even a good long life has some dark days. This past June, my family and I, we had to make an unplanned trip to Indiana because Julie's grandmother, the lovely Gladys Pritchett, passed away. She was 104 years old. And we were honored to be there for the funeral and even speak there at the funeral. It was a packed out funeral. The children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, all of the family friends. She had been a school teacher by trade. All of these students through the years. Even a state senator showed up for this funeral. It was amazing all the lives that she touched in 104 years. But as I told people about Miss Gladys and I told people about her life, I'd say, "Yeah, there's this incredible woman named Gladys. She lived to be 104. Invariably, they say, "Wow, that's a good long life." I mean, don't you think that when you hear someone live to be 104? That's a good long life. And I got to thinking, you know, we say that, and it certainly is a long life, but it's not necessarily a good life unless you choose to make it good. And I will say about Miss Gladys, she chose to make it good. 104 years. Think about some of the dark days she saw in her life. 104 years. She grew up in the farmlands of Illinois during the Great Depression. Her father was a preacher who was a little hard-nosed, and they had to move around a lot as a kid. She knew the sacrifices of a World War II era. And there weren't a lot of creature comforts in all of that time. In fact, she was telling me one time, the two best inventions I've seen in my lifetime were indoor plumbing and air conditioning. You know, 104. There were some dark days in that good long life. She married late for her generation. She was up in her 30s and she was widowed after only 15 years in a tragic accident. And I tell you, that came home to me because Julie and I just celebrated our 17th anniversary. I couldn't imagine losing my spouse after 15 years. Wow. And there she was with these two girls that she needed to raise up by herself on a teacher's salary in a day and an age when there wasn't a whole lot of single moms doing that at all. You know, some people think about the hardships that she faced and they would say, "Well, that's just a terrible, hard life." And someone might say, "Well, you know what? That's why I doubt there's a God. Because how could a good God allow people to endure things like that?" I'm going to tell you something about this 104-year-old Miss Gladys Pritchett. She was a testament to a long life, not soured by the hardships. As Solomon says, we will have many days of darkness. And it is big faith that sees us through the dark times to some other sunny chapters. Big faith helps us understand dark times and keep our hearts for God. As the Bible uses the word heart, it doesn't really mean the emotion and the sentimentalism that we all, you know, are in our love songs, the way we use heart today. But the Bible uses the word heart to communicate the mind, the seat of the will. And so Solomon writes in Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It's the understanding that your life is not everything that happens to you. Rather, your life is what's flowing from your heart. And even in a good long life, there's going to be some dark days. As verse 8 concludes, it says, and all that is coming is vanity. Means this. It's quickly passing away. Time and life, this life, it's not what you need to hold on to. God is what you need to hold on to. God is eternal. That's big faith. When we remember, when we respect, when we obey God today. And it is that faith in God which carries us through to another sunrise. And we're thankful for the gift of today. And we rejoice in it. And we want to steward this time, this chapter in our life, whatever it is, for God's glory. But appreciate it is temporary. And it's all the more precious because it's temporary. Last year, about this time, Julie and I had a really neat opportunity to go to Soldotna, Alaska and hold a gospel meeting. Great brethren there in Soldotna. And our hosts were telling us about this event that happens every year up in Fairbanks, Alaska. In fact, Robbie Bursell knew all about it. But in Fairbanks, Alaska, they host the World Ice Art Championships. Ice sculptures from all over the world descend upon Fairbanks, Alaska to make these incredible sculptures. And these are very intricate that I put up on the screen. But if you want to Google this sometime not in services, you'll see some neat, neat ice sculptures. Okay, they work on this ice out in the elements, and then it's all juried art. I mean, it's just incredible what they build. Working in ice. What's going to happen to the ice? It's going to melt. They make these magnificent sculptures, but in the end, it always melts. It's transitory. It's vanity to sculpt in ice. Does that mean it's not good to sculpt in ice? No. That's what makes it all the more precious. Because you have it for this moment. But it's going to melt away. Big faith fashions our life into joy and fruitfulness in the brevity of each passing day. And as we move through Ecclesiastes 11 and into chapter 12, this gets explored in two phases of life. And the first is this, the early chapters of life. So number two in your notes, let's talk about big faith in the early chapters of life. In the early chapters of life. As we go on in the text, Ecclesiastes 11, and we come to verse 9. Scripture says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. If you're younger, it's a great question to think about. If you're younger, what will the chapters of your life be? And if you consider yourself older, I'll just frame it like this. How did the early chapters of your life go? Solomon shows us that big faith brings a joyful and a fruitful youth. And so follow God in this advice. He teaches us to enjoy your youth. That's what it says in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. I'm going to tell you, youth is not to be idolized. Youth is not to be coveted. But it is to be enjoyed. You live once. You're young once. That's the way God made it. So enjoy it. And I really want to encourage some of the young people in the room with this. And I see a bunch sitting back there. And I see some sitting down here. And I see another section over here. See, when everyone sits together, you can just do this, you know. But all the young people in the room, You're beautiful. And I know what's troubling you right now. We all have these mornings where we get up and we look in the mirror and we say, I don't like what I see. I'm so fat and I'm so awkward and I'm so gangly and I don't fit in with this group of people I really want to fit into. And I don't really have money to wear the trendiest clothes so I can look the best that I want to look. And I just don't like what I see. But I'm going to tell you right now, all things being equal, there's going to come a day when you open up a yearbook from this year and you're going to find that picture of you in it. And you're going to say, wow, I was so thin. You're going to say, wow, I had beautiful hair. You're going to say, what was I so worried about? What was I so frustrated about? You're going to say, that shirt is hideous. I remember I had to have that shirt, but that has not aged well. Oh, wow, that's an ugly shirt. You're going to have that moment, and then you're going to realize, I was so uptight, I was so vexed, I was so unhappy, I had nothing to be unhappy about. Enjoy your youth. Let me encourage you with that. You're beautiful. Enjoy this day. Enjoy this chapter of your life. In fact, not only enjoy it, but Solomon goes on to teach us, explore life around you. In verse 9, the second part, it says, let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. And in the sight of your eyes. Walk this way. These early chapters, you get to do things. You have opportunities and things you ought to try. You ought to try a new activity. You ought to try a sport. You ought to try an after school club. Go for it. Go for education. Get as much as you can. That's going to open doors. Travel a little bit if it's possible. Because those experiences, they broaden your perspective of the world. And when you have the opportunity to meet someone new and make a new friend, try making new friends. I know when we go off to school, we have this whole new social world to explore. And I want to encourage you, explore that. People tell me what they love about social media so much this day is that, you know, they never lose touch of old friends. They always keep track of old friends. They move anywhere, but they all, you know, still have the same friends. Well, okay, I'm glad you keep in touch with your old friends. But don't cut yourself off from making new friends and meeting new people today because you think, wow, just everyone I need to know I've already met. It's amazing how meeting certain people can produce pivotal relationships and moments in your life. When I was in high school, there was a drama club and we were going to do a musical a spring semester and it was Brigadoon. And whether you like it or not, but that's what it was. And I went and auditioned and for a part, for a leading part. And do you know who I met at that audition? Yeah, you're right. I met Julie. I met Julie at that audition. Now, let me tell you something cool. We both got the parts that we were trying out for, so that was nice. But the pivotal relationship was I met the girl that I married. Because I went out for an extracurricular activity and tried out for a show. You just don't know when you try something new and you meet new people where that might lead. It's been a little over a decade now. But I was preaching in Tennessee and a new preacher had come into the area named Edwin Crozier. And I thought to myself, well, he's a new preacher in the town next door. I wonder if we could be friends. Maybe he'd like to have a new friend. I think I'd like to have a new friend. And I called him up, see if we could get together and have coffee. He tells that story better than I do. But we became friends. And in fact, it became a very pivotal relationship in my life. I'm so glad I picked up the phone to call and to meet someone new. Explore life. Enjoy youth. But as verse 9 continues, in all of it, remember God. The third part. And in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. God will bring you into judgment. And so you always remember God. Live in light of God. Now, I'm not saying live despite God. I'm saying live in light of God. And some people think that this is a terrible deal, that Christianity is some type of killjoy faith and religion. No, no, no. God's going to lead you to the best life. Big faith is going to be the best chapters in those lives. But you have to remember God. And when I say that, I'm not saying before you leave the house today, put a string around your finger. So that about lunchtime, what was I supposed to remember? What was it? Right. There's a God. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't believe that's what Solomon is telling us either. When we're going to remember God, it means you're going to know Him. You're going to trust Him. You're going to obey Him. That's how you remember God. I'm going to show this to you. Remember God. Remember that God will judge, the scripture says. And there are no secrets from Him, according to chapter 12 and verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That is a warning that don't think life is all about you and that you're the judge. Life is real short. God is eternal. God's the judge. As a youth, spend time in the Word of God, learning morality, ethics revealed from God. They are true. As a youth, spend time in the Word, learning genuine wisdom about life. It's revealed from God. It's true. This is how you remember Him. Don't ever kid yourself or ever think that you've got things so figured out, or your peers have things so figured out, or some professor or teacher has things figured out so well that you can say, aha, there is no God. That's foolishness. Remember God. Remember, God will judge these things. Remember, God will provide for you so that you might trust Him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from your heart. Remove vexation, the scripture says, from your heart. You want to get rid of vexation, worry, anxiety? Everything else in life changes. That's what Solomon tells us. And it changes quickly. But if you are God's, if you are God's child, you have God. He doesn't change. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And the more chapters you write in your life, the more what I just said really rings true. The more chapters you write in your life, the more you begin to see how God, you know what? He really was with me. And you know what? And I believe He was opening some doors. And some other doors, these things were getting closed. And you begin to appreciate, you know, He was blessing me in this. You know, I grew through that. You know, He helped me through this. He was even using other people to bless me and encourage me through a season, through a chapter. He never left me and He never forsook me. So why did I need to get all worried? God's with me. And remember that God dictates good and evil. In verse 10, He says, and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and the prime of life are vanity. God dictates good and evil. So what do we need to choose? We need to choose good, don't we? And God's the one that's going to tell us what that means. Life is full of choices, and God bestows upon us the dignity of respecting our choices. Put evil far away from you. The barb of temptation and sin is that everyone thinks I'm the one that's going to get away with it. Everyone thinks I'm the one that won't be harmed. No one ever thinks I'm the person. It'll never be me. I'll never be the one to take that bad dose of heroin or meth and it kills me. I won't be that one. They never think I'm the one. I'm not the one who's too drunk to drive. This guy over here is too drunk to drive. I'm just buzzy a little bit. Someone else may cross the median, but it won't be me. I won't be the one. I would never do a thing like that. They never think that they're the ones who are going to get a disease or get pregnant out of wedlock. They never think it's going to happen to them. They never think that some angry ex will put a picture or a video taken of them in some state of embarrassment or sin on the internet or on social media to shame them. Never think that would happen. Never happen. There are earthly consequences to forgetting God and choosing evil. There are spiritual consequences to forgetting God and choosing evil. But what does the Bible tell us? Remember God. Big faith remembers God. Big faith also understands that when I make a mistake and when I sin, God has the answer for that too. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. in repentance for our sins. And the sacrifice of Jesus and His precious blood shed that I might be forgiven, that God gives us a fresh start. Big Faith understands that there's a group of people right here in this room, a church family, a church of Christ, which embodies the love of Christ. And we can work through our troubles together by God's grace. We help one another to put away evil. Now, can we see together how the early chapters of life, how they require big faith? In so many words, he tells us about remembering God, about fearing God, about obeying God. And start as young as you can in building the big faith. Start in exercising the big faith. Start today. Because verse 10 ends just as verse 8 ended. For childhood and youth, or the prime of life, these things are vanity. Vanity. When I hear the word vanity, a lot of times I think of self-love. But, you know, it means futile. It means empty. It means quickly gone. Our youth, the prime of our life, they're wonderful chapters. But we are told that they are written and they are done quickly. And so today, this day under the sun, it counts. It matters. Because life moves swiftly, and it moves swiftly on the later chapters. As we go to Ecclesiastes 12, we see number three in our notes tonight. The importance of big faith in the later chapters of life. As we go on to chapter 12, he starts with remember the Creator in the days of your youth. But he's really not talking about the days of your youth anymore, is he? Now, commentators, and I read several, all agree to this, that what we're looking at in the first five verses of this chapter is poetic imagery of advanced age. They may disagree a little bit on what symbolizes what, but it kind of works like this. Walk through it. See if you don't see it also in your own Bible. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. That there's a time that comes where we're not all that excited about another day. And why would that be? Verse 2, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened. Well, that's the idea of we're losing our sight. We're not able to see things. And the clouds do not return after the rain. And here's the concept that, you know, after rain, the clouds should be gone. And this kind of relates to our pain. That there's some things you think we're just going to sleep off and get over. But we start to have some issues in our body and our life. We don't just get up and get over them anymore. He says in verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and that's usually understood to be something about trembling limbs, and the strong men bow down, people who used to stand up ramrod straight, they're hunching over, their shoulders are slumping over. As we go on in verse 3, he says, when the grinders cease because they are few, that's talking about teeth. You're not chewing as much because you don't have as many teeth. You ever heard anyone say, if I'd known I lived this long, I would have taken better care of my teeth? That's kind of what Solomon's getting at. And those that look through the windows grow dim. Again, perhaps something about troublesome eyesight. When the doors are shut in the streets, we don't like to go out late like we used to. Everything's all shut up from us and we're feeling alone. And the sound of grinding is low. This is, again, the sound of chewing. Maybe it's because we don't eat as much, or maybe we don't hear as well. When one rises up, the sound of a bird, because we just don't sleep through the night like we used to, and anything wake us up. And all the daughters of music are brought low. And at the same time anything will wake us up, our hearing's going away. How do you like that? Verse 5. Also, they're afraid of height. They're afraid about falling down. If you get me up, what if I fall down? If I fall down, how are you going to get me back up? All right. Terror's in the way. Anything could happen if I go out there. When the almond tree blossoms, almond trees blossom white. And I think this is speaking about people's hair getting white, getting gray. I just say, well, at least you have it. That's what I say. It says, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. You used to be a young, spry grasshopper. Now you drag all over. And desire fails. things you used to be interested in, and perhaps in marriage, not interested in them the way you used to be. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. And after this picture of advanced age, well, then the last begins to talk about death, going to an eternal home and mourners in the streets. That is some type of poetic picture, isn't it? I had a sister in Tennessee tell me one time, she goes, "Getting old ain't for sissies." I don't think it is. And when does all this begin? Well, Moses wrote in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, that we should expect life to be 70 or 80 years. And if it is, it's all going to be hard, hard life. And I think that's interesting, 70 or 80 years coming from the guy who lived to be 120 years. And he's 80 years old when he's just working to lead the Israelites through the wilderness, you know. But he's probably a bit of an exception to the rule, and God certainly blessed him. There was this older brother, one of the elders in Tennessee, and he got to where he couldn't be an elder anymore and he got shut in. I go to visit him, and his name is Brother Myron, and I was, you know, in my 20s or early 30s, something like that. And I'm visiting, and he looked at me and he said, "I remember when I was young like you." And I used to tell people, when I'm 60, 60's old. And I believed it. 60 was old. He goes, and then I got to be 60 years old. And I realized, 60 isn't old, but 70. I think 70's old. And then I got to be 70. I thought, you know what? No, I'm doing great. 70's not old. 80's old. He said, and now I'm 80 years old. And you know what, Andrew? I said, "What's that, Brother Meyer?" And he goes, "80 is old." And he'd had a lot of changes in his life between 70 and 80. And he was feeling old. But we need big faith in every chapter of life. We need to remember God, respect God, obey God as we advance in years. Solomon says, start as soon as you can. In verse 1, start as soon as you can living for God, because the day comes when you're not going to be able to serve God like you want to serve God. You're going to be limited. You're going to be limited by your age, by your health, financial limits that come along with that, time limits come along with that. And one thing we know from Ecclesiastes and all experience, we do not get a day back. You need faith when the sun rises and you don't feel good today. You need faith when you or your spouse is dealing with various ongoing infirmities, the coming of age. And you've got to deal with the things now that a good night's rest, they don't shake off. You need faith when you begin attending funerals for your friends, for your peer set, even for your spouse. You need faith when it's often quiet and lonely. You need faith when you realize that all things being equal, you are so much closer to meeting God face to face today than you've ever known. And faith teaches us that it's a plenty exciting moment for the child of God to meet the Lord. A tender moment for Christians, precious in the sight of the Lord. Not a dreadful moment. But these realities call for big faith. The kind of faith we've been building and exercising and even for years. This poetic imagery of advanced age then goes to poetic imagery of death. In verse 6, the silver cord, remember your creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. That is a picture of a lamp likely in King Solomon's house. A golden bowl was full of oil and it was lit. All right? And it was on a silver chain. And what should happen if the silver chain breaks? Then it tumbles down, the oil's everywhere, and the light of life is gone. It talks about death. But suddenly, like a chain snapping, wow, death. The second image is much like the first. This time we go to the well, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Again, it's the same kind of image. We have this pitcher. We're drawing up water on a crank, on a wheel, and suddenly something gives. The pitcher drops. It's broken. It's done. We're not getting water from the well anymore. The well has run dry. Suddenly, we're not able to have the water anymore. Again, sudden death. It says, and then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Suddenness of death. Even among the aged. And so he says this in verse 8. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. It's all transitory. It's all futile. Except for one thing. God. Except for God. He started the book with these same words, by the way, in chapter 1 and verse 2. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He's kind of demonstrated that throughout. Because it's all transitory except for one thing. One thing. God. God who endures. And so what's needed then is big faith in God in every chapter of life. I'm not up here this evening telling you, you need faith for faith's sake. I'm not up here saying you need faith in faith. I'm not saying that you need faith in yourself. Solomon's treatise is not a big self-esteem booster, but it's a faith builder. You need big faith in God. He's the one who endures. And so build faith in God. Build big faith in God. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Big faith that remembers God in every chapter of life. We've talked about what that means. Getting to know Him, giving into His Word, living in light of it. Respecting God in every chapter of life, the fear, the reverence, the honor that only God is due. And obeying God in every chapter of life. That when His Word speaks, we will hear, we will obey in faith. We need big faith in every chapter of life. And we're about building that up with one another in a church family here. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put your Bibles away and your notes away. Brother Stephen's going to come back, lead us in another song. We are all about being faith builders here at Livingston Church, encouraging one another and spurring one another on to be remembering God, revering, respecting Him, fearing Him, and obeying His Word, obeying His commands. That's how this chapter of life is the best chapter that it can be, walking with the Lord according to His Word. And we would not let this service pass without giving someone the opportunity, if they need the new beginning in Christ, new chapter, fresh start in Christ, to obey His gospel, to be obedient to the faith of the gospel, and become a Christian. If you're here tonight, we want to encourage you. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent from sin in your life and be baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins washed away. We're going to sing this song now. You don't need to sing it. You need to come forward and confess the Lord. You need to come forward and be baptized. Take that obedient step in faith. So if we can help you with that or encourage you in any other spiritual need to have big faith, we want to help you now. Just come forward and make your desire known as together we stand and sing. Won't you come? Oh, Father.